The Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday in Advent is written in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the fourth chapter. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John the Baptist, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings to all of you this day, this wonderful day right before we celebrate the Nativity of our Lord. Blessings to you. And as you gather with your family and friends to celebrate this wonderful occasion, I pray that you've been filled or currently being filled with the Christmas spirit. And that this, of course, translates into coming to God's house tonight and tomorrow morning to receive the gifts God would give you here. I, for one, can't think of any better way to celebrate the birth of our Lord. In any case, today in our gospel lesson, we hear the great witness testimony of St. John the Baptist. And this, I think, dear ones, is becoming more and more important for us to learn from these days. It's important for us to learn from the Baptist how to conduct ourselves when people with questionable or outright nefarious intent come and inquire of us. For us as Christians, whether our friends and family members should question us openly, publicly, at our Christmas celebrations over the next couple of days, or should our wonderful government come and grow so bold as to interrogate us about our confession of Christ? I hope you sense my sarcasm there. Here's something to keep in mind. Sometimes it's necessary for us to confess publicly, boldly, but humbly, who the Christ truly is, and what that means for us, for the world, and our relationship to Him. What is our relation to the Christ? We must do this even at great cost to ourselves. Our text says that when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask John the Baptist, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." John the Baptist confessed that he was not the Christ, but the baptizer didn't deny, on the other hand, that he was nevertheless a true prophet sent from God, commissioned by him directly to prepare the way of the Lord. And you need to see, dear ones, that there really was a lot at stake in this confession. There was a lot. This was, after all, a formal inquiry on the part of the religious leaders, the principal men of the people. John couldn't just brush this off. These were not just wanton antagonizers like the people who sometimes come and hold up signs outside of our church that say grotesque things. Believe me when I tell you that God will repay them for their schismatic activity and spirit, and that is what they are. And as loud as they think their signs are, silence towards them is much louder. Believe that. But in any case, John could not just ignore these people who came to him. This was a formal inquiry. They had come and he had to say something. He had to give a deposition, as it were. Now, what's very interesting to know is that Jesus, later in John chapter 5, says that the Baptist was a burning and shining lamp, and the Pharisees, the principal men of the people, were willing to rejoice in his light for a while, and only for a while. And this leads some of the holy fathers of the church to suspect that the delegation sent to John was motivated by ill intent. And I tend to agree with this. Because John the Baptist had everyone enthralled. They were hanging on him. They were looking to him, coming to him by the thousands. They were coming in droves. And the religious leaders see this and they're thinking that he was the Christ. And they were ready to win him over by their cunning and embrace him so that they might have the glory of John's light for themselves on their own terms and for their own purposes. They ask him, "Who are you?" as if to flatter him and to set him up to proclaim himself to be the Christ. This is what they wanted. They wanted his glory for themselves on their own terms, for their own purposes. And isn't this exactly the kind of situation the devil would use to tempt John to lead people to himself and not to Jesus? How easy would it have been for John the Baptist to leave things just a little vague, to get into the good graces of the principal men of the people, and embrace all the lucrative opportunities that were before him, the prestige, dear ones, the fame, the honor, the great standing that he would have enjoyed, being the favored one of the religious establishment. Think of this. Think of everything that he could have run after in that moment. And now if you were in St. John the Baptist's sandals, would this have been enough for you to turn aside from a pure confession of the Christ? Would this have been enough for you? In any case, this is not what John the Baptist did. John chose, like the humble servant that he is, to point people away from himself and to the true Messiah. John immediately confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And the Inquisition was not expecting this at all. Not at all. They say, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not," meaning that he's not the same flesh and blood person, Elijah, who was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire. He's not the very same person. So they then returned to ask him, "Are you the prophet, the one prophesied by Moses that God would raise up, who would be the Christ?" And again, the Baptist answered, "No." And after dispensing with their false opinions about who he is, John the Baptist then gives them the correct one, saying, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." And at this then, his inquisitors, they just drop their pretenses. They drop their flattery, and then they show their true colors and intents. They start accusing him. "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" They try to strong-arm him, threatening him with hostility and the loss of the honor they're trying to entice him with. You see how they're operating. These are well and truly serpents. To which John responds further by confessing his unworthiness before the true Messiah, following after him, as if to say, "You think being honored by you is worth anything to me? I know for a fact I'm not worthy to untie his sandal, to do even the most menial task of the lowliest slave. I am not worthy of that." And yet in his unfathomable grace and mercy, he would have me go before him to prepare his way. So, dear ones, whether they tried by flattery or by pure contempt, John the Baptist stood firm and gave a good confession concerning who the true Christ really is and John's relation to him. And sometimes it's necessary for us to do the same, publicly, boldly, even at great cost to ourselves, like John the Baptist, even if it means being despised by friends and family alike. And so too, like him, we recognize our unworthiness to draw near to the feet of the Christ. We are unworthy because we're sinners. Nevertheless, he bids us come, because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the true Messiah, who bore our sin, yet remained pure in himself. And though we have been steeped in the grime and mess of our unrighteousness, he gives us the gift of his righteousness, which makes us clean. Though we've been stained by the filth of our iniquities, he gives us that gift of his purity. All of this he gives us in holy baptism, just like little Mason received today. Thanks be to God. And Christ Jesus comes to you as meek and mild as a little lamb, an innocent little lamb, happy to be in your presence, happy to give you what is his own and to have you as his own. So recognize, dear ones, that people may soon come to you and question you about who you are and your relation to the Christ. And prepare yourself ahead of time to make a good confession. Whether they try to flatter you and entice you into glorifying yourself or a false Christ, or share in the glory of worldly-minded people who, for example, think that men can become women, that children can choose their gender, or that perhaps abortion isn't murder. When such people come to you and question you, stand firm. and make a good confession, like John the Baptist, about the Christ and what it means for you according to his word? And should people drop their masks and reveal their ugly intent, their true colors and aggression towards you, labeling you intolerant, unworthy of their honor and the honor of the world? Remember that even John the Baptist thought himself unworthy even to untie the sandal of Jesus. And so what good is all the honor and worth of the world put together? Because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Christ and there is no other. He makes us worthy to approach him. He justifies us by faith. He makes his righteousness ours and he makes us his. And to the same Jesus Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.